Lord, as we learn your word this evening, we are transformed by it. We are blessed by it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So in the month of September, we have been on a teaching series that I believe would radically change your Christian life for good. Sit, walk, stand. And so far, we have looked at the following teachings. Number one, the present truths. I believe that teaching blessed you, right? And then we talked about ginosko, revelation knowledge. I can't reemphasize or overemphasize the need for that teaching. Listen, if these things we are saying do not enter your spirit, you'll be cheating yourself. You know, I was talking to someone today, and I hope you understood what I was trying to explain to him. The need for revelation. Let me tell you something, eh? No matter what we say, no matter what we do, eventually your life will become exactly what is inside your spirit, man. The state of your spirit will eventually be manifested in your life. I've said it here time and time again. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, meaning it doesn't matter the kind of infirmity that comes to a man. What is in his spirit is what will sustain him. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? So, when we teach like this, the aim of teaching like this is to get the word of God in your spirit. There are too many busy people around religious places or the house of God who have literally nothing. They are empty. They are empty. They are not solid Christians. They have nothing serious in their spirit, man. And the years will show. Jesus said, anyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, he's like the one that is planted or that built his house upon the rock. And he says, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it did not fall because it was built upon the rock. It was a house. But another one built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the winds blew, and everything came crashing down. Now, if you saw the two houses, the one that was built on the rock and the one that was built on the sand, if you saw them at the same time, they would both look built. I wish the rain and the storm came when the guy that was building on sand had not even put blocks. At least the rain would have revealed that there was something wrong. But the winds and the storms waited. He had put roof. He had put furniture. He had put everything inside. And one day, the challenge came and revealed everything that was wrong with the house. I pray for you. When we are building our roots, you will not be found wanting in the name of Jesus. Amen. So far we said we have looked at the present truth. We have looked at ginosko, revelation knowledge. And we have looked at seated. That was Sunday's teaching. Seated. Glory. Say after me, I'm together with the Lord. I'm together with him. So on Sunday, I opened the text of the Bible while explaining the fact that Christ has brought us out of spiritual death, and he has brought us to be seated with him in the heavenly places. Psalm 49 verse 20. I open this text so that it will get our attention. Psalm 49 verse 20 says, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perisheth. So if a man is in honor and doesn't understand it, he will be like the beast of the field that perishes. Are you with me? So there is a major understanding that we need to have in the honor that has been bestowed on us in Christ Jesus. We need to understand it. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Look at that word, behold. The Greek word there is eido, meaning become aware. See, understand what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. It's something mighty, but he wants you to see it. So he begins with that word, behold. Look at this thing. Become aware of this thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, behold, try and understand what happened when he says you are now the sons of God. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Now look at verse 2. 1 John 3 verse 2. He says, loved, now are we the sons of God. Glory. Say after me, now I'm the son of God. I like the rendering here. He did not say in the future. He says now. This should remind you of present truth, right? He says, beloved, now. Beloved, now. Now are we the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. Amen. He says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. So today I want to talk about what we have titled the seated identity. The seated identity. And what do we mean by the seated identity? We are trying to say, who are we? What is our identity? Because we are seated with Christ in the heavens. Acts chapter 3 from verse 1. You know that popular story of the crippled man by the beautiful gates that was healed by Peter and John. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 from verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Are you seeing this? Now, don't forget that phrase. What did he say unto them? Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And you know the story, he rose up and walked. And there are two things I want you to see here. The first thing he said was, look on us. Then the next thing he said was, such as I have. So you can put this identity into two categories. Look on us, who we are, and such as I have, what we have. Are you with me? So when we are talking about our seated identity, we are trying to understand, who are we because we are seated in Christ? And what do we have because we are seated in Christ? Are you getting me? It says, look on us, who are we, and such as I have, what do we have? In the name of Jesus. Do you get the point right now? So when we are talking about our seated identity, we are talking about two categories of blessings that we have received because we are seated in Christ. Glory. So we are saying, who are we? And what do we have? Because you see, when we talk about Christ being seated, that's talking about an established position. For Christ to be seated, it means he's established. Everything that surrounds his being seated in heaven are things that have been established. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, by seated identity, we are talking about what is our identity right now. What do we have and who have we become because we are seated in Christ? So, we are talking about what we have and what we are. Because we are seated in Christ. Now, see after me. Seated identity refers to what we are, who we are, and what we have. Our seated identity refers to who we are and what we have because we are seated in Christ. Let me go over it again. Our seated identity, some of you are not talking. Our seated identity refers to who we are and what we have because we are seated in Christ. Glory. You know, let me tell you something. Someone once asked me, why do you like teaching the basics? Why do you like to talk about things like this?
He said, I thought that you would just be giving us deep things, very deep things. I said, what is the deepest part of a building? And he said, the foundation. I said, yes. If you really want to know how deep you are in Christ, let's talk about the foundational things. It is when we begin to investigate what you believe on the foundational things in your Christian faith, we will know how deep you are. There are too many people who are just, they are just building skyscrapers without no foundation. When time comes, everything will scatter. Oh yes, everything will, it will come crashing down. Are you following me? You know, I've once shared before in Newbury Christian Community that you don't know your spiritual maturity by what you know. We don't test your spiritual maturity by what you know. We test your spiritual maturity by what you use. We test your spiritual maturity by what you use. Hebrews chapter 5, and I will show this to you from there and go back to my sermon. Hebrews 5 from verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 5 from verse 12, he says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles in the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. There's so much to talk about here, but he's saying that when you ought to have been teaching, you have to still be taught the first principles in the oracles of God. Now, that's interesting. There is something called first principles in the oracles of God. Are you with me? They are the first things you ought to know. If you meet a random churchgoer right now and ask the person, okay, and you tell the person, look at me. I just got born again yesterday. What are the first things I ought to know? What will you tell him? What will you tell him? Now, there are many Christians that have been in church for 10 years, and if they face that kind of situation, they don't even know what to say. Or maybe you will tell him, you need to trust God for your prosperity. Is that what you will tell him? How to believe God for more money? Some will try and say, okay, you need to know the Holy Spirit. Have you spoken in tongues? What will you tell him? Simple things like, who are you in Christ? Are you with me? Simple things like, what do you have because you have come into Christ? Simple things like, how do you know you are saved? Are you getting me? Can I shock you? There are many Christians that don't know these things. Some Christians don't even know what it means to make heaven. They don't know. How does a person make heaven? They don't know. And you say you are deep. You know realms. You know portals. You know you know the angels of the third heaven. But you don't know what it means to make the heaven. You don't know what it means to be saved. That is why I'm teaching these things. That is why I told myself for the first 5 to 10 years of New Breed, I'll be, you think, oh, some of the things I'm talking about now that we called greater revelation, you think I've not known them since. Sunday, we are going to be talking about what I call kata lambano. How to translate revelation to manifestation. Are you with me? Okay, this is what I am in Christ. How do I translate it? Because what you see in Acts chapter 3 is translational. What you saw there was they translated who they are in Christ and what they have in Christ to the healing of that man. Are you getting me? That's what they did. It is scatter and banner they did there. Okay, we cannot give you money. We cannot give you silver. We cannot give you gold. But we still have something else that we can give you. Are you with me? I can convert what I have in the realm of the spirit in Christ Jesus to your healing. Oh, yeah, stand up and walk. Are you with me? That's Sunday. Praise the Lord. Uh-huh. What I'm trying to tell you is, you need to know your basics well. See, after me, the seated identity. So go back to Hebrews 5. It says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need, I won't teach you again the first principles, and you are those in need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, see verse 13, everybody. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So, for he is a babe, not that he's a girl. For He's a spiritual child. The way you use the word of God is how we will know whether you are a spiritual man or a spiritual child. What do you do when you wake up in the night and you see a child convulsing? How do you respond then? We will now know where you are spiritually. What do you do when you are facing challenges? What do you do? Where are you with me? How much of your identity do you know that you can use in the day of trouble? That you can use in moving your life from one phase to another? That you can use in your relationship with God? You know, some people, some Christians, they wake up in the morning. They have encounters. Oh, they are full of, oh, I saw an angel. But the day they wake up and feel like God is far, they believe God is far. I'm just far away from God. I don't know. It's as if I'm just far from God. But you are seated with him in heavenly places now. Have you forgotten? You see that now? What they are walking by, the synesis that they are walking by, the mindset they are walking by is their feelings, not revelation. Is their feelings, not revelation. Look at the disciples of Jesus. They went and for evangelism. Jesus sent them out two by two, and sicknesses were healed through them. They saw signs and wonders. Even the demons were subject to them in the name of Christ. And they came back and they were like, wow, you truly gave us power because we saw things happen. And Jesus was like, I'm not waiting for your experience to believe my conviction. I know something in the spirit that Satan is falling. Are you with me? So what he was walking by was not their testimony per se. It was that I have seen something in the realm of the spirit that Satan is falling. That means he must respond to you. So what you saw on the field as experience, I know by conviction. Are you getting me? As a Christian, you must, this seated identity, there are things that you have become, there are things that you are, that must be seated in you. Are you getting this? Just the same way Christ is seated on the throne, it must also be established in you that this is who I am, this is what I have, because I am seated with him. Amen. Do you get the point now? Verse 14 now says, but strongly belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When you begin to steer on things like this and begin to embrace revelation, it begins to work in your life. You begin to mature. Mature. You know, I told someone something. We're just talking about the word of God. And I said, if you give this iPad of mine to my daughter, and you give this iPad of mine to one of you here, the same iPad, the same device, it will be more effective in the hand of someone who is older than my daughter. What's the difference? It is not the power of God as the issue. It is about who is handling it. Are you getting me? It is not the anointing that's the issue. It is who is handling it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So our seated position refers to our established position in Christ. Glory. And that position changes everything. Galatians 2 verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 from verse 20. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 2 from verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Please, can we all read this verse 1, 2, 3, go? Glory! Read it one more time. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Glory! I want you to see two things here. Two phrases I want you to look at closely. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I.
Oh.
The first thing I want you to see is crucified with Christ. Remember we said on Sunday that what Jesus did was that he joined us together with him. Are you with me? So, he became sin because he joined us together with him. And let me tell you something. It is that joining in the realm of the spirit that made it possible for him to die for us. Are you following this?
Yes, sir.
So, spiritually, Jesus came and became one with us, together with us. One with us, together with us. Such that even though we are not the ones on the cross, when he was on the cross, in the realm of the spirit, we were on the cross with him. Are you following this? And we've done that teaching here before, the new covenant, where we talked about the logic of redemption, where he joined himself together with us, and it was represented by his apostles. So, such that we are connected together with him, joined together. And that's what happened there. He says, we were crucified with him. I am crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Say after me, Christ liveth in me. So what does it mean by crucified with Christ? It means that your old nature, your old personality, are you with me? And consequently, your old spiritual identity was crucified with Christ. Are you following me? Everything you wear because of the fall of Adam, everything you wear because of the nature of sin, are you with me? Are you with me? Everything you wear because of sin, everything you wear because of the fall, everything you wear because of the sin nature, he says he has crucified it with Christ. Are you with me? It was nailed to the cross. As Jesus died, that nature died. As Jesus died, that old identity died. Praise the Lord. As Jesus died, that old spiritual DNA died also. Praise God. And he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. What kind of link is that? What kind of expression is that? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Okay, if you were crucified, why are you still alive? For you to still be alive after being crucified, it means that a new man was also raised. Are you getting this? For you to be alive after being crucified, it means that God had to produce somebody else to take that place. Are you getting this? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am crucified with Christ. Say after me, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. But Christ liveth in me. But Christ liveth in me. Close your eyes and say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. Glory. What is Christianity? Christianity is the overflow of Christ in you. Are you with me? Christianity is the overflow of Christ in you. That the reality or the identity of Christ inside of you is finding expression. The more expression of Christ within you is what we call spiritual maturity. Praise the Lord. So when he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It means that your old identity has died, and now your new identity is the identity of Christ. That right now, the Christian does not have a separate identity from Christ. Remember when Jesus encountered Paul, or is also called Saul, on his way to Damascus. What did Jesus tell him? Jesus told him, Saul, why persecutest thou me? But Saul never stoned Jesus. Saul never fought Jesus physically. All Saul was doing was to dissent. But Jesus came and said, it is me you are persecuting. Meaning, in the eyes of Jesus, every saint is me. I am them, they are me. Do you understand that? And that's what Paul was telling the church in Corinth. That how can you take the members of Christ and join it to the members of harlot? See, when you understand Christian identity, it solves everything. Everything stems out of there. Okay, now, just imagine, how can Jesus sit down and be watching pornography? And you, that Christ has joined together, two of you are joined together, you now sit down and open your laptop. And how can you be doing such abomination to Christ? That's what Paul was saying. How can you make your members? How can you carry these bodies that are members of Christ and join it to the members of an harlot? So after me, I'm one with the Lord. So he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So that means right now, the identity of the believer has been submerged in Christ. If you want to find who you are, find who Christ is. So that means Christ is no longer an example for us, but an example of us. He's not just an example for us, but an example of us. If you want to know your capability, you look at him. If you want to know who you are, you look at him. If you want to know where you come from, you look at him. Are you following this? Praise the Lord. I'm reading that verse again and again. It's to enter your spirit, man. Because the point of this teaching is, the more I'm explaining it to you, and you understand it, the more you are transformed. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, explaining the process of spiritual change. It says, but we all with open face, beholding the glory of God as in a glass, we are changed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of God. What is happening? That is who you are, but until you see what you are in Christ, you will not be transformed into it practically. It is already there in your spirit, man. It's what God has done already. Remember, we're talking about the seated identity, right? It has been seated already. It is established already. But until you see it, until you discern it by revelation, you will not be transformed into it. The more you see it, the more you are changed. Let me tell you something. I am saying this thing because most people have not really experienced what is called the entrance of his word giveth light. The entrance of his word, it giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Most people have not experienced it. What it means is that the word of God entered. Praise the Lord. So once again, let's read Galatians 2 verse 20. I am crucified. 1, 2, 3, go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Glory. Satan, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Glory. So look at this. It means that your identity right now is Christ. Something, my identity right now is Christ. Christ is my identity. Christ is my identity. I know who I am by looking at who he is. I know who I am by looking at who he is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me show you something. 1 John chapter 4. Lord. First John chapter 4 from verse 15. We're going to read to verse 17. It said, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Are you seeing this again here? He's talking about, this is the reality of the believers. He says, everyone that confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God the love that God had to us. God is love, and he that in love dwelleth in God, God in him. Glory. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. God as is, so are we in this world. Say it again. As he is, so are we in this world. Notice he did not say as he was. He's saying as he was, meaning all the things that Jesus did on the earth, as great as they were, he's saying that that is not the order at which we became one with Christ. He's saying the level at which he connected us to be one with Christ, such that as he is, so we are in this world, is from his resurrected form. Are you with me? If you study properly, you will discover that when he resurrected, there were more. It was as though he was upgraded. There were many things that happened when he resurrected, though. Many strange things. For instance, of course, we know that God was made manifest in the flesh when he came. But there were some things we did not see until he died and resurrected. After he died and resurrected, he did not need to knock to open the door. When Thomas was saying, if I don't see his side, if I don't see his, I will not believe. While Thomas was still debating about that, he just showed up and the door was locked. Do you know what it means? That after he resurrected, he said, touch me, for his spirit had not flesh and bones. And while they were looking at him, he ascended bodily like that into heaven. Let me tell you something. The Christian today does not really know what he has. Because if you know, you will be doing strange things. Oh, yes. There will be many strange things about you. And history bears witness to this. So, the people that stayed with God and stayed with who they are and what they have. Like I'll be showing you how to do on Sunday. Recently, I was studying about one of my John Gillick. Every morning he said he will wake up and declare to himself, Jesus lives in this man with suits. Jesus lives in this man with coats, and he will pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. And as he's praying in tongues, he will be declaring to himself, this is the hand of Christ. This is the hand of Christ. This is the hand of Christ. These are the legs of Christ. This is the eyes of Christ. He will say, Jesus sees through my eyes. Jesus touches through my hands. Because of that man, Spokane became the healthiest city in the world during his days. This man worked in divine healing to the point where the government arrested him and said he was practicing medicine without license. And so they said he has to prove to them that how can all these people be healed and there is no certificate of the medical school. So they arrested him and took him to prison. And when they took him to prison, they called doctors to come and examine him and check. And so one of them brought a microscope. They brought a bacteria. And they got there to meet him. And they saw him. So he said, you who came to test, Abi? He said, put the bacteria on my hand. They put it on his hand, and under the microscope, it burns to pieces. When John said, there is a life of God in us, he says, he that had the Son hath life, and he that had not the Son hath not life. I'm sure you'd be saying, why doesn't it happen to everybody? I thought we are all believers. No, not every believer is looking at who they are in Christ. It is the one who looks into the glory of God as in a glass that is changed into the same image. If you don't look, you will not be changed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, he says he has given us great and precious promises that by these we will be partakers of the divine nature. If you don't stay with what he has given you, you will not be a partaker of it. It will look as though you don't have it. Are you with me? If you don't know what you have, it won't matter what you have. If you don't know. So, our seated identity, what's the first on the list? Number one, we are new creatures.
This is our first reality of our new identity. We have become new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 15 to 17. I'm going to explain it here in a way that some of you may have never heard before. Now, let me start with verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, when you see a verse that begins with therefore, you have to stop and know what it is there for. But well, what we are trying to say is, when you see therefore, it means there is somewhere he was coming from. For him to say therefore, it means he's coming to the concluding part of his premise. Are you with me? Of his argument. So, you can say, they will not do this, so therefore we are going to do that. They have increased the price of fuel, therefore we have to... therefore, our God will supply more resources. Amen. No, you are not saying amen. You don't know that the joke of a prophet is a prophecy. So, for you to get this, therefore, you have to start from verses earlier. Look at verse 15. Now, he's talking about Jesus here. He says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. What's he saying? Now, go back to verse 15. He says, and that he died for all, that they which live, who are the they which live? Those who believe in him, right? And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And rose again. So he's saying that after he died and rose again, something happened. Something happened. Now see verse 16. He says, wherefore henceforth, so because he died and rose again, something has happened to him. He says, wherefore henceforth, because he has died and rose again, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. What is he saying? He's saying that the way the spiritual stature that he was when he was in flesh is different from after he died and rose again. So it was that Jesus became a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Do you get it now? So Jesus was the first person to become a new creature. Therefore, if anyone is seated in Christ, your own identity has also changed. Because he was the one that became a new creature first. Are you getting this? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's also a new creature. Glory. You get that? I'm a new creature. Say it again, I'm a new creature. Because I'm in Christ. All things are passed away. And all things have become new. All things are passed away. All things have become new. I know you've been wondering, why did Jesus have to become a new creature? I thought he was God in the flesh. Remember, he became sin by becoming one with you. Are you with me? So, he joined himself with you, for God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So now, he became sin by being one with you. And now, he knows that because two of us are joined together, if he becomes righteousness, you also will become righteousness. Do you get it? So it's not like there was something wrong with him. There was something wrong with us. And as he joined himself with us, he carried our problem. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? He became sin with our sins. And now that he has become a new creature, we have become a new creature with his new creation. You get it now, right? Glory. Say after me, I'm a new creature. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Number two, we have become members of God's family. Oh my God. We have become members of God's family. Remember what the verse we started with in 1 John 3 verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And then he goes on to say, therefore the world knoweth us not because he knew we not. Are you seeing now our identity has changed? So the world cannot recognize us again because we have become part of a different family, a new family. We are now sons of God. Tell me, I'm a son of God. 1 from verse 29. So he says, or let me read verse 28. It says, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, and yea, the things which are not, to bring to know the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So who is he talking about here? God. He's talking about God, that no flesh should glory in the presence of God. Are you with me? Verse 29. Then he says, but of God are ye in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, if you come into Christ Jesus, you are now of God. Are you following this? If you come into Christ Jesus, if you are seated in Christ Jesus, you are now part of God. You are now of God. God now becomes your origin. Are you with me? You are, all your former origin is lost. Maybe you are from Zaria. Maybe that's where you are from naturally. But when you get born again, you are now of God. You hail from God. He says, this is possible because you are in Christ Jesus. He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Say after me, Christ is my wisdom. He's my righteousness. He's my sanctification. He's my redemption. Glory. He says, but of God are ye in Christ Jesus. Say after me, I'm of God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. I am of God in Christ Jesus. This is my identity. This is my identity. I am of God in Christ Jesus. Glory. Amen. And number three for tonight. You have defeated the devil. You have defeated the devil. But I'm sure you'll be saying, but we did not fight. We're not the ones that fought, yes? You're not the one that fought, but you are right now connected to the one that fought. You are inside him. So, when so what the devil was doing is, he was punishing an innocent man. Someone that committed no sin. But he was taking our place. And whenever he took our place and we took his place, from then on forth, his victory has become our victory. Are you with me? He became one with us in our sin, and now we have become one with him in his victory. Have you seen those? How do I say it now? Have you heard people say things like, if not for the man she married, this girl, what does she even have? She just married a man. The man just blew up. Blah, and became a billionaire. She's a billionaire too. Oh, especially if it's a correct man that buys all the properties in his name and her name. David and Faith Ogenerobo. This girl just, from where did you say enter? And that's the, if he becomes president, she has become first lady. You may not like her, but that it is what it is. So because we are joined to him, we did not fight. All we did was enter inside him. Bam. So if he presses the head of the devil, in the spirit, we are the ones that match the head of the devil. Do you understand that? So after me, I've defeated the wicked one. I've overcome the wicked one. First, glory. Look at 1 John 2, verse 13 to 14. It says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. You are not trying to overcome. You will not overcome when you pray more. Are you with me? You have already overcome. Praise the Lord. In verse 14, he says the same thing again. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him as from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Jump on your feet.
Jump on your feet. Glory to God. Pray in the spirit right now. Pray in the spirit. Rapakata shakapala gabaranda kasuta.